Welcome to MedCurity Live. For this episode, our co-founders Joe Galatly and Amanda Hepper discuss social engineering and how it affects healthcare organizations. This is a big topic today because of how many phishing attacks on hospitals and clinics have been successful during the past year. Joe and Amanda lay out four types of social engineering and explain a few of the most common practices hackers will use to gain access to protected health information. If you find this episode helpful or have a phishing story of your own to share, please reach out by tagging us on LinkedIn or Twitter. Thanks for listening.
Hi, and welcome to MedCurity Live. I am Joe Galatly.
I'm Amanda Hepper.
And today, if you'd like to know if your account's been hacked, go ahead and leave your username and your password in the comments, and we'll take a look at it. Actually, no, don't do that. We're talking social engineering today and the deceptive ways that there may be opportunities to take your personal information or to create a data breach or et cetera. So we're going to talk about how people may get into your organization and what we should be on guard and paranoid about and watching for to protect our organizations.
Yeah.
Let's start with phishing. And how many types of phishing are there? All kinds.
Hundreds.
You were saying there's a few different styles specifically.
Right. Phishing, which is like the email one that we're all familiar with. Vishing, which is via voicemail. And schmishing, which is via SMS or texting. We have some examples of those. And then impersonation.
So they come at you from any angle.
They can.
We spend a lot of time talking about data breaches. I saw a statistic that 90% of data breaches were originated by a phishing attempt. So the credentials were compromised by a phishing email or by one of the other forms of impersonation, et cetera, that you were just mentioning. So what kind of examples do we have of phishing that you've seen of social engineering in general?
Well, they'll send an email and they'll mask it like it looks like it's coming from Amazon. We've talked about that. And maybe something else where they have like a letter is a number or something like that. But it looks like it's coming from an account that's safe. And they'll take advantage of current events and all of that, right? So they'll play on your emotions. So it'll be in the subject line, so then people may tend to open that up and click on a link.
And they can look very genuine, right?
Yes.
Very deceptive. And they're just capturing that first bit of information, so they're not asking you for everything. Just log into OneDrive, put your username and password in to get into your new OneDrive document.
Right. This is IT, we need to reset your password or something, right?
Yeah, I saw one that said, we need you to review your website activity and, you know, log in here. Just things to get you thinking other than being paranoid, to get you interested in what they might be asking for. Very deceptive. What about in person?
So in person, there's some fun stories. Donna Grendel of Cardin shared a story with me. And it was about a lady that was trying to infiltrate an organization. So she did social media research on several employees in the organization and found a lady that had volunteered for a maternity center. And so she selected that woman to go after, right? Her name's Susie. Let's say her name's Susie. So the tester calls up Susie and says, hey, you know what? I'm doing 6 weeks. I need to get this project done. I'm in one of these other offices. I'm going to be in town. Can you help me out on this? Right? And so played on her emotions, Susie's emotions, right? Because she has a heart for women that are going to have babies. And so she was like, sure. So she came in, met her. And through the conversation, the tester ended up being invited to lunch with some of the coworkers. They took her out to lunch, paid for her lunch. She got back to the organization and was able to go into various offices and made her way to the person's office who hired her to do the testing.
That was a successful test. Good thing it was just testing the organization.
If she could get through and, you know, look at PHI or whatever else she was trying to gain access to. And the mistake that Susie made is that she was nice. These people were all nice. Nice person after nice person after nice person. So it wasn't that they did something intentionally wrong.
Yeah, and in healthcare, that's something that they know, you know, many of us are in this because of the patient care, the mission, and that's something that can be taken advantage of, for sure. So as we're talking about ways that people get in, once they get that first level, we've seen then on the phishing side, we've seen like spear phishing, right? So spear phishing where you target somebody specifically, and that can get really interesting too, because it gets more into what you were just sharing, where it's not just we got your username and password, we're into your network, it becomes we're getting to know you, right?
Hackers will hack into networks, and they call it dwelling. So that's one thing forensics will track is how long whatever snippets of code or whatever were there. And they'll track and they'll watch people's emails and the conversations, and they'll learn something perhaps about the CFO who can approve large purchases. And I remember another story about a CFO that had a kid that was in soccer practice. And so this hacker or attacker was just waiting for the right time and then finally sent an email to the CFO saying, you know, can you approve this purchase for $100,000 for whatever? But first said, how's your son's soccer game this last weekend, right? But the CFO knew that that was like a check and balance process, so we couldn't just issue a check for that.
Yeah, I've heard other stories of, will you wire this money for us, kind of last minute. There's always a little bit of urgency, but a little bit of personalization that makes it seem authentic. And again, checks and balances may catch a lot of that, but that's why you've got to have those procedures in place and to have everybody just that right level of paranoia. Double check everything when you get those emails. What's the domain that it actually came from? But some of those spear phishing attempts, they actually captured, like you were saying, they've captured the, say, Microsoft 365 username and password. So they're in an email account. So there's very little indication that that's actually, you know, because it's coming from a colleague's email account, and then it's the checks and balances that may stop that. So we share these stories because we think it's really important to be aware of what's being attempted around us and what those risks are, and so then we can train to that.
Right.
There's definitely technology. There's tools that allow you, of course, email signature checking and internet filtering. I read that 1.5 million new phishing sites are created every month. So these internet filtering companies are rushing to try to pre-identify and screen those sites. So when you click on a link in your email, it hopefully will be blocked at that point. But it's a kind of a crazy game. And so it can't just be technology that you're counting on to protect you. It's got to be on the staff side too.
Mm-hmm. Right? So, humans are a vulnerability.
Yeah. One of the ways that we see people raise awareness is through phishing exercises, mm-hmm. right? So sending out very real looking, sometimes mirroring actual phishing campaigns to your staff, but capturing those that fall for it and just following up with training, right? And saying, okay, so this is what, if this had not been a test, this would have been bad. So here's what you look for, and then doing an ongoing training and ongoing tests. So something that we can, with MedCurity, we can help out with that as well. We help organizations run those campaigns on a regular basis so they can ensure their staff are aware of what they may look like and getting ongoing training. And the in-person attempts, I mean, it's just a matter of having some good safety protocols in place.
Right. Having badges, training your staff that if somebody comes in and they may act like they know what they're doing and like perhaps they are acting like an IT person and taking pictures of access points and that type of thing, walking in with authority and confidence, you need to say, hey, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You know, it's training and education. And I think we talk about culture of compliance, having other employees encourage those asks, to not be intimidated by that.
Encourage them to stop people.
Yes, to stop people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
When we do walkthroughs in organizations, that's something that we test. Walk down a hall, walk into the pharmacy area, places we clearly shouldn't be, mm-hmm. just to see, you know, to make sure that people are aware and saying, hey, can I help you? Noticed you didn't have a visitor badge. Can we help you? Or even if you did, right? To be really comfortable and aware and feel that ownership. You are responsible for protecting information. And in addition to all your other roles in that organization, you need to be on guard and watching for these type of potential attacks.
Right.
Those are a lot of things to be aware of. We just want to share things that we want to focus on, so keep you guys on guard and keep your staff aware. And please let us know if we can be helpful. Appreciate you joining us, and I'm sure we'll have some great scary stories next week.